Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Welcome those of you who are joining us online this morning. This story that Valerie just read, I think, is one of the most beautiful and profound stories in all the Bible. Mary's humble, obedient response to the message that this angel brings is so beautiful, and honestly, I think we can all learn from Mary's example. God is asking a lot of Mary here, right? I mean, Mary is probably 16 or 17 years old at this point, and God is asking her to have a baby. Now, I've never had a baby, but I've been there when my wife has had a baby 3 times. And I'm just here to say, it doesn't look that easy. It's kind of a big deal. But not only was, you know, the birth coming, there's the 9 months before that and everything that comes along with that. So, morning sickness. And I know, you know, we'd probably like to think, well, I mean, God's asking Mary to do this thing. He probably made it so she didn't have any morning sickness. Well, maybe, but that, you know, that's not what the Bible says. So there's, you know, morning sickness, gaining 40 pounds, your organs get all moved around inside there, your clothes don't fit right, stretch marks. And I could go into more detail, but it is Sunday morning church, so I'm not going to. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot, not to mention, in Mary's case, there's going to be a 90-mile donkey ride to Bethlehem, and then having to give birth in a stable, and then, oh yeah, by the way, followed by becoming a refugee in Egypt because King Herod is trying to kill your baby, right? So God is asking a lot of Mary here, but what's amazing is Mary doesn't even hesitate, not even for a second. Go back to verse 31. The angel says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. So the angel says some amazing things about Jesus here. 5 amazing prophetic things about Jesus. First of all, that he's going to be great, right? Even though he's born in a very obscure place and is raised in a very obscure place, he's going to be great. He's going to be the Son of the Most High, which is the same as saying he's going to be the Son of God. He will reign on the throne of David. So prophetically, the Messiah had to be a descendant of King David. He will reign on David's throne. This is what the Word of God had prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. He will reign over the nation of Israel. So it says over Jacob's descendants. Jacob is the father of Israel, right? Jacob's name is changed to Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel come from Jacob. So he's saying, the angel is saying that Jesus is going to reign over the nation of Israel forever and ever. And then finally, his kingdom will be eternal. And I think that is a great reminder for us today. The kingdoms of this world, the governments of this world will come and go, but the government of Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever and ever. Amen? So the angel makes these 5 amazing declarations about Jesus. But notice Mary, even though the angel has just revealed these amazing grand things about the true nature of Jesus, Mary is still thinking about what the angel said first. And so she says, in essence, can you go back to the part where I get pregnant again? Right? Now her words will be, how will this be since I am still a virgin? Now, this wasn't a matter of unbelief. But she's got a legitimate question, right? First of all, how can this happen? But also, how is this going to look? I mean, what is this going to mean? Because Mary is not married yet. She's betrothed, but not married. So in a Jewish wedding, there were two parts to the wedding. First of all, there was the betrothal, where the parents and couple come to an agreement, and there would be a big celebration in the village to celebrate this union. And then about a year later, the groom would come and take his bride home to their new home. So for Mary, being with child at this point in their relationship is going to be a major problem. In our culture, unfortunately, an unwed pregnancy is kind of a common occurrence. But it wasn't then, and it wasn't for these people. So this had the potential of being scandalous, especially given the fact that Joseph would know that he wasn't the father of this baby. So now, in addition to all the other stuff that we've already talked about as far as being pregnant and giving birth, there's also questions like, how am I going to tell my parents? How am I going to explain this to Joseph? What if he calls off the wedding? What are people in town going to think? If Joseph calls off the wedding, how am I going to raise this baby? Who's going to support me? How am I going to be provided for? So God is asking a lot here, right? But Mary, amazingly, doesn't seem to see it that way. So after Mary asked, how can this be? The angel answered in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So Mary doesn't hesitate. She doesn't ask a million questions. She doesn't negotiate with God. She's not demanding. Mary not only seems to be willing to be a part of God's plan, she's honored to do it. I am the Lord's servant, she says. May your word to me be fulfilled. So sometime after this, Mary goes to visit her relative, Elizabeth, who was also with child, namely John the Baptist. And the Lord has also done a miracle for Elizabeth, a different kind of miracle. Elizabeth was well past the age of childbearing, and the Lord enables her to conceive the regular way, even in her old age. So when Mary arrives at her relative Elizabeth's home, something amazing happens. John the Baptist, who was in Elizabeth's womb at the time, is so full of the Holy Spirit that when Mary arrives at the house, the spirit of John the Baptist senses his proximity to Jesus, who's in Mary's womb, and the Bible says that John the Baptist leaps for joy within his mother's womb. And you can imagine how, you know, exciting this was to these two women. And when all this happens, Mary, she's so overjoyed that she writes a song. And we call that song today the Magnificat. And the Magnificat, it uses some Old Testament scriptures, but really comes from the heart of Mary. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read the first few verses because it just shows us Mary's heart. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful to the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. These aren't the words of someone who sees herself as being inconvenienced by God. Where's the complaining? Where's the negotiating? They're nowhere to be found, right? Mary's attitude is, I'm not doing God a favor by having this baby. God is doing me a favor by allowing me to be a part of his plan. Yeah. So, this morning, if you don't take any other notes, I want you to write this down. Or at least, get it in your heart, get it in your spirit. Mary didn't see her story as being a separate thing from God's story. Okay, this is important. Mary didn't see her story as being a separate thing from God's story. What do you mean, Tim? Well, here's what I mean. I think in life, we kind of distinguish between the two. We kind of see our story, our plans. I plan to go to college. I plan to start a business. I plan to get married. I plan to have children. Whatever it might be. I want to build this house. I want to build up for retirement. So we've got our story. And then over here, we've got God's story. All right? And God's story in our world is the redemption of mankind and the second coming of Jesus Christ and his eternal kingdom, right? And so we got God's story, we got our story, and in our minds, if we're not careful, we will think these are two different things. And we'll think, well, once in a while, I'm going to slip over into God's story, and God might ask me to do something, and I'll be willing to do that thing as long as it's not too difficult for me to do. And as long as I don't have to sacrifice too much of my own story to be a part of his story, once in a while I'll step over into God's story. But then as soon as I'm done doing that thing, I'm going to get back with my plans again. Mary doesn't see it that way at all. What if we, like Mary, believed that God's story actually is the most important story, and that when we get to be a part of his story, we're not being used or inconvenienced or taken out of our story, but rather we're actually finding our sweet spot. And we start seeing our lives as being lives that Jesus paid for on the cross, that he has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for our life as we are part of his story. So I want to encourage us today. Let's bring our story together with God's story. Amen? Yeah. There's a Bible word for this, actually. It's the word sanctification. Sanctification. It means we are becoming more and more like Jesus. And our heart and mind and lives are fully dedicated to God's story. So Mary's attitude before the Lord here is amazing and it's beautiful, but honestly, it's also a little convicting. So I just started thinking for myself, how many times have I failed to obey the Lord because what he was asking me to do seemed inconvenient at the time? How many times have I tried to negotiate with God? How many times have people missed out on some blessing from God because I was being disobedient? How many miracles have I missed out on because I wasn't willing to get out of the boat and trust God completely with my future? Now, we have the advantage of knowing the end of the story here, but Mary, for her, there were a lot of unanswered questions. And her only guarantee was her trust in the Lord. Sometimes, and I'll just speak for myself, I want God to give me some assurances ahead of time. I think we have this expectation of God that if God asks us to do something, our part is to obey him, and his part is to somehow make it easy. Right? God, you told me to pray for my neighbors, and I've been praying for them for 10 years, and I see no movement toward you. God, I thought we heard your voice telling us to have these kids. Look at them. None of them are doing what we tell them to do. God, you told us to start tithing. And here I am 50 years old and I still have to go to work. Hey, listen, church. Obeying the Lord isn't always going to be easy. But I'll tell you this, it is always going to be blessed. It's not going to be the easiest road, but it's going to be the blessed road. Amen? And if we're not careful, we'll fall into this idea that, man, if it gets tough, then maybe I didn't hear from God, or God's let me down, or God promised me it wasn't going to be this way. And that wasn't the attitude of Mary at all. When Jesus was born into this world, and he died on the cross and rose from the dead, he didn't come so that we could occasionally step into God's story and step back out of it. Jesus laid down his life for something much more revolutionary than that. Something way bigger than that. Jesus came to completely change the story of our lives. Amen? So that now, as I follow him, it means my life is going to be completely different from the world around me. Jesus has called us to be salt and light. We can never be salt and light if we commit ourselves to living life the way the rest of the world is living life. There should be something absolutely radical and revolutionary about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus came for something big. He has a huge vision for us. Now listen, when God asks you to do something, it's never going to be too much for you. It's not going to be easy, but it's never going to be too much for you because God is always going to come through. I love this promise. Luke 1:37, the angel says, "No word from God will ever fail." No word from God will ever fail. It's not going to always be easy, but God's never going to let you down. Hallelujah. Amen. So how can we follow Mary's example today? Well, listen, first of all, got to start with this. You're never going to give birth to the Son of God. We'll start right there, okay? The whole Immaculate Conception thing, that was a one-time deal. Don't try it on your parents, kids. It's not going to work. All right, so you're never going to give birth to Jesus. But listen, in a mysterious, spiritual, wonderful way, you carry Jesus within you. Now, maybe this is a weird way to think about it, but if you've been born again, Jesus, by his Spirit, dwells within you. And you carry Jesus with you wherever you go. And our world needs you to carry Jesus well. Because they need the Lord. The world needs to see Jesus in us. Yeah. So as blessed as Mary was to get to carry Jesus in her womb, we too are blessed because Jesus has come into our lives. He's saved us. He's redeemed us. He's chosen us. And now we get to carry wherever we go. And church, that shouldn't be a burden for us. We should never say, well, I'm going to teach this Sunday school class, but man, what an inconvenience it is. All right, I'll bake some cookies for my neighbor, but I had other plans. We should never see what God is asking us to do as being an inconvenience to our plans. We should always see doing what God has asked us to do as a great privilege and honor. It's an honor to be used by God. Amen? It's not an inconvenience. It's not a burden. It's not a bummer. It's your sweet spot. It's what God has made you for. And I want to suggest to us, if you're living your life just for your story, your vision for your life is much too small. God has so much greater for you as you become a part of his story. Yeah. So, how can I show the world Jesus this Christmas season? I'm not going to answer that for you. You got to answer that one for yourself. This is the question. How can I show the world Jesus this Christmas season? Now, how many of you know our world needs Jesus? In our world specifically, I'm going to say our community, our nation, our state needs Jesus like never before. Amen? We're in a desperate, desperate situation here, folks. It's tough out there. You don't need me to tell you that. But I can tell you this. Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Amen? And our privilege of sharing Jesus with others is great and more important than ever. So I want to encourage us as we jump into this Christmas season. Let's make this a great season. Amen? Let's carry Jesus with us wherever we go. Right? Into every dark, difficult situation. You know, none of us likes to see the darkness. We all hate the darkness as Christians. We love the light spiritually, right? But the truth is, the darker things become, the more opportunity there is for us to shine the light of Jesus Christ. The more the light is needed. So in this Christmas season, let's shine the light of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Let's carry Jesus with us, and let's have that attitude of Mary that says God's story is the most important story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes, and worship team, come and join me up on the platform. I want to give an invitation this morning. First of all, I want to ask, how many of you are here this morning and you would just say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I've given my life to Jesus. But I've come to recognize this morning that there's just a lot about my story that I haven't given God control of yet. And I need to make my life more and more about his story and less about my story. And it's really a call to a deeper commitment to being a true follower of Jesus Christ. So if that's you this morning, just being honest, would you just raise your hand right now and say, yeah, I need to take that step of making God's story more of my story. Yeah, amen. God bless you. You can put those hands down. Now I want to ask a second question. Are you here this morning or watching online and you need to start a new story with Jesus Christ? The story you've been living so far has been about you. It's been about the things of the world, and you're finding those things very unsatisfying, very unfulfilling. I want you to know, Jesus said this. He said, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But he said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. In Jesus, there's abundant life. Abundant life. You will never regret giving your heart to Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning or you're watching online, I want to give you this invitation. Do you want to pray today? to surrender your life to Jesus Christ or recommit your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to the number three, when I say three, I want to invite you, if you want to be included in this final prayer, I want to invite you to raise your hand when I get to three. And you're just saying, Tim, today I want to give my life to Jesus, or today I want to recommit my life to Jesus. One, two, three. God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you. Over here, over here. God bless you. Any others today? Those of you who are online, I just want to encourage you, even if you're just home alone, raise your hand up. God sees it. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Several of you have raised your hand. I'm going to ask the entire church this morning to join us in this prayer. Would you pray out loud with me? Just repeat after me. Father in heaven, I need you in my life. God, I want my story to be changed by your story. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. I believe you paid for my sins. And I believe you've risen from the dead. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life right now. Forgive me of my sins. Wash them away. Make my life new. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen.